I be playing.
Hello and welcome to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. I'm Andrew Deere. I'm Coordinator of Facility Operations with University of Recreation here at Alabama. And I'm joined with my co-host, Mark Mayfield, Associate Director of Student Media here on campus. It's an exciting day to be here at The Capstone. We are missing our other fearless co-host, Adam Sterrett. You know, he's a busy guy, Mark.
He
struggles to get here at times.
He's in meetings.
Yeah.
What can I say? Student life's a big division.
Student life's a big deal around here, and, yeah. You know, Adam is one of the guys that makes it run.
He does, and he does really well. So,
right.
And he's also our boss.
Right, really. Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, we're going to say nice things about
absolutely.
Him.
Absolutely. Right? More importantly, Tennessee and Alabama play a football game today, which is really, really exciting.
They do, don't they?
Yeah, so that is that's really the reason we're here. And I myself am really excited about this game. This is always a game that you look forward to on the calendar, no matter how good or bad each team is. Alabama, usually not bad.
Right.
Tennessee has been for the past decade. But, yeah, it's not the only game that's going on this week, but it's our game.
So. It is our game, and it is back to the third Saturday in October like it should be,
absolutely.
Like it traditionally has
absolutely.
Been. And I know we missed a few of those in recent history, but it's back on schedule. And, you know, it's interesting. We'll get into this. We're going to do this segment on Tennessee-Bama history. But this thing is a – you know, they played 100 – this will be the 101st meeting, and so – Bama's played Tennessee much more than they played Auburn. Remember,
yeah.
Auburn, Bama missed 41 years in there when they just stopped playing
yeah,
each
that's
other.
Wild.
Yeah, so it's a big game.
Yeah, what games are, besides our game, what games are you looking at this week? What are you excited about watching and seeing the outcomes, Mark?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. There are not as many, it seems like there's not as many big games nationally today. One of them, though, is right here beginning at 11 o'clock, and that is, not here, but in East Lansing,
right.
Michigan. Michigan at Michigan State. That's a big game, a huge rivalry. I never have quite understood why teams play their in-state rivalry game in the middle of the season. Of course, Michigan's big rivalry is Ohio State.
Right.
But you'd still think maybe, you know, they'd put that game of Michigan State later. But those teams have played always pretty much at this point in the season, I guess.
Yeah, and it's always a pretty good game from what I can remember. 2 years
yeah.
ago, or maybe it was 3 years ago, Michigan was punting the ball away, and Michigan
yeah.
State blocked it and went
right.
to score, which is one of the wildest finishes that I can remember seeing. So that it is interesting that such a big game for that state and those teams is at this point in the season at 11 a.m.
Right, right. Why is it 11 a.m.?
The Big Ten just loves a 11 a.m. game that
I guess that's
taken very seriously. So.
I guess so. I don't get it. I don't get why you play your big games at 11 a.m. That's still breakfast time.
Right.
In most of the Big Ten, they're in Central. Most of them are on Central time
right.
anyway, the same as us, I
right.
guess, right? So it is still before noon.
And I know they're at Michigan State. They're in East Lansing, but the Big House rarely has night games,
yeah.
which is also really interesting.
Yeah, that's weird.
I don't know why. If any of our Michigan listeners know why, give us a holler.
Shoot us
an email.
Yeah.
Tweet us.
Educate us.
Yeah,
about
we'd love
this.
To know.
Educate us about it. I will say this for the Big House, one of the great stadiums in America.
Have you
no
been there?
Doubt about. Yeah, and it is. It's really one of the great places to play football.
One of,
and I think it's. You know, it's traditionally, you know, Alabama and other stadiums have kind of expanded
right.
beyond the lower
right.
level, you know, all these years. But Michigan pretty much began the stadium kind of
it
that
started
way.
Huge.
Yeah, it did. So
I've got a really good buddy from high school that is a big Michigan fan, has season tickets. I need to make it up there.
You should. You would love it. You love college football
right.
settings. And that's
right.
if you haven't been, you got to go. So
for sure.
All right, we'll extend
in
an invitation
though.
To Harbaugh right now for
right.
you to make it up there. We'll do that. I'm you know, he'll have the milk, the whole milk ready for you.
I am a big milk guy.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, we got to Auburn's got, you know, this game to me, it's kind of a tough pick.
Yeah.
I mean people may say I'm crazy, but Auburn at Ole Miss,
we can talk about them now, I guess, but the Gus Bus, the wheels are falling off, Mark.
Yes.
And last year, we, you know, the few years I've been on the show, we've joked about it every year. The Gus bus, the wheels fall off. When does he lose control? Last year, that, you know, arguably didn't happen. They were in the SEC championship.
Right.
They had a chance to go to the playoff. But this year, it fell off early, and it just, they're an uber-talented team that hasn't produced. They let Tennessee come in there, who is not as talented, not as deep, come in there and really manhandle them at home.
You know, that's so interesting. I honestly, when you said they were in the SEC championship, I thought, really?
Yeah.
Of course they were.
And here's the funny
thing. They beat Bama, and they were.
They were a good team, and this might be a hot take, but I think they're a little overrated. They lost four games last year.
Yeah, they did. They did.
You know, and they had their opportunity to go to the playoff, but they lost four games.
They did.
And the
Iron Bowl was their big game.
Right.
I mean, they just treated it that way, and they won that game.
And some say the Iron Bowl didn't matter. Which is one of my favorite things to see on Twitter, when people tweet the Iron Bowl didn't matter.
Yeah, when Bama loses, Bama fans, say it doesn't matter.
Right.
When they win, it matters a lot, of course.
Auburn is, they've got to figure it out, Mark. They're going to be in big trouble if they don't, because Ole Miss's defense is bad, but they can score
like
crazy.
They can score, though.
As much as, I guess, the bottom half of the league is not great, but the bottom half of the league can still beat you if you don't show up.
Yes, absolutely.
And so that's what makes the SEC so interesting this year, and I think it is a little bit better than it has been years past.
And a weird thing about Ole Miss, you know, Ole Miss can I hadn't looked back at all these games, but Ole Miss can start off well. They can go into this, you know, hole and be gone and be playing terrible and then come back toward the end of the season.
Right.
Like they – was it last year that they were not playing well, and then they stomped Mississippi State, I believe. Was it that?
Yes.
They can do that kind of thing because they're Ole Miss, and so
Ole Miss is pretty inconsistent. And if you catch them on a day when they're hitting on all cylinders, they're a tough team to beat.
They are.
The unfortunate thing for them, they just don't hit on all cylinders very often.
All the time.
But when they do, it's interesting. So.
Well, some other games. Oklahoma's at TCU. That looked like it was going to be a big game maybe earlier in the season. I'm not so sure now.
Yeah, TCU's 3-3. Gary Patterson has done such a great job of setting expectations for that program. 3-3 for them at the beginning of the season was not something that any of us saw coming, I'm sure.
No, I thought they were going to be better than that.
But, yeah, that is still an interesting game because they can still play.
Yeah. There's an interesting one in the ACC today. You know, NC State's unbeaten.
Yeah.
And they're playing Clemson. Now, Clemson's, I don't know how much of a favorite, but they're clearly
16,
favored.
Something like that.
But it's interesting. It's interesting because of, I think NC State's still unbeaten. And
they are.
It's interesting because of that.
NC State's 5-0, and I read something this week. NC State's 5-0, and besides the Clemson game, there's not a game that they are – that they will probably be the underdog in, which is really interesting.
Yeah,
I know that the three of us, you and I especially, didn't see this coming from NC State at the beginning of the season.
No,
mainly because we don't
not.
Pay attention to them as much. No. I know Adam probably does.
Yeah, because he's an ACC guy.
He's an ACC guy. But I'm glad you mentioned that. It is interesting to see what they're going to do this weekend.
Yep. And then a big one in Baton Rouge this evening, Mississippi State at LSU.
Absolutely.
Big game.
LSU's a little better than I thought they were.
They are.
I didn't give Ogeron the credit that I don't even know if he deserved it, but I didn't give that team and him the credit going into the season by how talented they are and how hard they've played. But
I didn't either.
This is not a crazy statement, but I think Alabama's toughest game left will be LSU, and it won't be close, really.
No, but it's stacking up to be a major game, and you know, give Ogeron credit. You know, give him credit. People thought he was going to wash out. He's on the hot seat. People said, you know, that they should never have hired him.
Right.
They should have looked out more nationally.
I said that.
The guy's winning. I did, too, and the guy's winning games.
And it's hard to go off. Guys like him and Muschamp who've gotten second chances, and Muschamp's, I guess, is a little different story, but it is, you know, as a fan and as somebody who likes college football, it's hard to, I guess it's hard to really give a guy like that another chance knowing that they haven't done well before.
Right.
Which I think is why Lane Kiffin's so polarizing, because he just keeps getting second chances. And, you know, all of those guys that I just mentioned have done well in their second chances. So
that's true. Interesting. You're right.
It is interesting to see how that plays out.
Yeah. Also, kind of a hard game to pick, I think, Oregon at Washington State in the Pac-12 out there today, this evening.
Oregon's pretty good football club.
They're a pretty good football club.
Yeah, they're really good. That will be
But the Pirate at home, you know, Pirate can pull out the stops. He can sling the ball, man, when he's got nothing to lose.
It'll be cold up in Pullman tonight, too, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
It'll be cold up there. It's starting to become football weather.
Pirate's going to set a few traps for him. You know,
he is.
We'll get to that later.
He's going to make him walk the plank, if you will.
He will.
This is not going to surprise you, me mentioning this game, but Vanderbilt, Kentucky is going to be a tough pick.
I think you're right.
That Kentucky team's only got one loss to Texas A&M. They are better than Vanderbilt, but those two teams usually play each other pretty well. You know, my two best friends on planet Earth, one went to Vanderbilt and one went to Kentucky. So I'm going to have – my phone's going to be blowing up tonight whether I want it to or not about that game.
Right.
So it'll be interesting.
Yeah, I was wondering if you're going to make the quick drive up there fast jet.
I haven't been to Kroger Field.
You know, Lexington. Yeah.
It's probably been about 10 years since I've been to Kroger Field in Lexington.
I don't think I've ever been – I've been on campus, but I've never been there for a football game. So I've been to a basketball game there at Rupp.
The atmosphere is not great. But it's fun, I guess.
Yeah. Well, it should be. That's going to be an interesting game, no doubt about it.
For sure.
North Texas at UAB's, UAB's playing well, and this is for the lead in the Sun Belt. Is that the deal?
So I think the Conference USA.
Conference USA. Good grief. I've already lost all the, you know, every market we have there with Sun Belt.
You know, North Texas has that win against Arkansas, which is a big confidence booster for them. Both these teams are pretty good in Conference USA. Definitely this is for the league, so that should be very interesting.
Yeah, and I need to apologize to Mayor Walt Maddox, who played at UAB.
Right,
you should. Going to the conference here all of a sudden.
Absolutely.
Totally lost that.
All right, well, those are today's picks. Those are the games that we're looking forward to today. You're on you're in the Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. We will be right back with the rivalry on Alabama and Tennessee.
Hi, I'm Mayor Walt Maddox, and you're listening to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
Welcome back to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. Andrew, we got, Bama, Tennessee, big history, huge rivalry. Certainly not quite the rivalry it was before Bama went on this 11-game winning streak, which I'm happy about, But you're kind of a Vol guy too. You bleed a little orange,
I'm sure the listener. I've mentioned this before. My parents grew up in East Tennessee. My grandfather had season tickets to Tennessee football for 40 years. So growing up, I've seen a few Alabama losses and victories. This is always a really, really exciting part of the season. In the past 10 years as a Tennessee, fan, you could call it, it's been a little bleak. The past seven or eight years, Tennessee just really has had no chance in this
game. They've had no chance. They did get close in 2015, I believe. And they did in 2009. That was, remember, Bama had to drive at the end of the game to win that one. Played well. But usually they've been getting blown out.
Right. Lane Kiffin year, Daniel Lincoln got his kick blocked by Mount Cody, forever in Alabama lore.
Interesting. The crazy part of that is if Mount Cody hadn't gotten it, Julio Jones would have.
Yes.
Remember, he skied
absolutely
up from the back. That ball was never going through.
No, it wasn't. Something we don't talk about much, Tennessee had those orange pants and the white tops.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think look good now, but that just the Pantone, the shiny orange that they had back in 2009 when Lane Kiffin was a coach, that was not a good look.
No, that's not a good look for them. That's not a good look. They did experiment a little bit with the uniform.
They did.
Still do to some extent, but they're pretty much together.
Right. Lane also, in 2009, they did the Halloween jerseys. They had the black tops.
Oh, yeah.
In the orange pants against South Carolina, which was pretty interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, as it turns out, Lane's year was like 7-6, right? Something like that.
Yeah.
One of their better years. Now, they did win 9 games a couple of times. Was it in Butch Jones's
they
early
won, yes,
couple of years?
In 2015, the year that Tennessee almost came in here and
right.
won, they won 9 games.
Right.
Really lost one to South Carolina they shouldn't have.
Right.
Could have won this one here in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, played really well here.
You know, for all the slack that Butch Jones gets, he had a couple good teams.
He
just
did.
Couldn't get him over the edge, which I think ultimately is why he is a analyst for Nick Saban right
well,
now.
Well, it's true. And the truth is, you know, Tennessee, of course, being in the east of the SEC, they have the unfortunate thing of having their one cross-division
right.
rivalry game with Alabama
right.
in the best years Alabama has had
right.
since
Absolutely.
The Bryant days. I mean, otherwise, let's just say their rivalry was, you know, the Ole Miss or something.
Right.
They might have fared a lot better.
Right.
But,
and it is interesting how that – I don't know the history of how that came about, them being
yeah.
cross, rivalries. But the past 10 years and then and, you know, during Coach Bryant's era, that really didn't help Tennessee out a whole lot.
Nope.
But it is interesting how that's shaken out and just really how dominant Alabama's been really the past 10 years.
Yeah, they have. Well, let's get into the little of the history of this.
Right.
You know, this is the 101st meeting, I think, today with Tennessee, which, as we said earlier, is more than Alabama played Auburn. You know, it's a major rivalry in the history of it, at least.
Right.
It's been a rivalry really of streaks where one team or the other has gone on this kind of streak. You know, Bama, the first game was played in 1901, and it ended in a 6-6 tie, and it ended early. It was in Birmingham, but it ended early because fans rushed the field on an offside call they didn't like, and the ref ended it early.
Were they scoring by ones at that point, or was that?
Well, they were still
–
at that point,
like?
It may have been – you know, it used to be in the very early days of Bama football, a field goal was 5 points, a touchdown was 4 points.
Oh, wow.
Which, just think today, if that'd be a real problem for Bama today.
Alabama might not be the best team in the country.
So actually, field goals counted more than touchdowns in
wow.
the beginning of college football. But I think by that time, I'd have to look back, but the rules were beginning to change a little more
okay.
to where they are today. But Bama, you know, Bama leads the series overall. If just in real wins on the field, Bama leads at 56-37, and there have been 8 ties in that game. But officially, because Bama had to vacate a win in 2005 and had to vacate a tie in 1993, you know, when we talk about snitches now,
right.
some of this has to do with Tennessee.
Right.
but officially, Bama leads the series 55-39 with 7 ties because that other ties out, I think. So anyway... But another really, looking back at history of this, another really crazy game was in 1909 when Tennessee lost the game 10-0, but they chased the main ref, the lead ref, off the field, and he grabbed a streetcar and made a fast exit.
Mark,
that was
we've
in Knoxville.
Come a long ways.
Yes, we have.
That's actually really funny.
Yeah, so but people think the rivalry's tough now. How about then?
How about referees having to get away? Have to have yeah, a getaway
literally
car
running
to
for their
get
lives.
Out of Dodge.
I mean, you know, it's you know, back then fans, you know, fans of all people think, oh man, SEC fans are so intense now.
They've been.
There was no SEC
1910.
In 1909, but they've been. Yeah, they've been intense forever.
That's funny. Mark, what is the one game from this rivalry that you remember most? Like the one that sticks out to you that was a win or a loss? It just one
yeah.
that was a series defining game that you remember.
Yeah, you've probably been to quite a few of them. I've been to a lot of them. Most of them, the majority of the games I've actually attended in person haven't been that close by either team.
Right.
And majority of them, Bama's won by a pretty big margin
right.
in some of those games. The 2009 game, though, which I was not at, I was living in New York then, but the 2009 game was with Cody blocking that
right.
field goal. That'll stand out, really.
Yep.
But in history, to tell you the truth, it was a Bama loss that really stands out. And I just so happen to have a copy of my book
there you
to
go.
Read about this.
There you go.
But it was a game that Kenny Stabler, you know, it ended in a tie. Actually, not a loss, but it ended in a tie. But Alabama had a chance to win it at the end. And Stabler, you know, they marched down the field, and Bama was in easy field goal range. And, it was 7-7 tie, and there were 6 seconds left in the game. It was fourth down, but Stabler didn't remember it was fourth down. And so they're going to stop the clock. Stabler throws the ball out of bounds to stop the clock for Bama to kick the game-winning field goal. And Bama had, you know, I think it was David Ray, who was one of the great kickers, you know, in Bama history. And there's no doubt that Alabama, you know, would have won that game, but it was fourth down, and Stabler threw the ball out of bounds on fourth down, and that was it. There were 6 seconds left. Tennessee took possession for a play, and that was it. So
the crazy thing about that, and a lot of people, you know, I'm sure blame Stabler, but none of the offensive linemen, the center wasn't aware. Nobody on the offense at the time didn't yell, "Don't!" I'm guessing I obviously wasn't there.
Right.
Didn't scream, "Don't snap it." I guess Coach Bryant couldn't get to Stabler on that. That's a fascinating play. If that were to happen today, Mark, and you had that on television, that would be a highlight for or really a low light for years and years to come.
I know you wouldn't get over
thing.
It, and Stabler probably didn't get over it. Although Stabler led them to a win against Tennessee the following year. So, and we all know Stabler is one of the great quarterbacks, not only in Bama history, but in pro football history.
Right.
And, there's one thing in the book that I read after that game ended that way for Alabama, Stabler wrote this in his biography, Snake. And it's an old book by now, but go get that book. If you have, it's fantastic reading, and it's very candid, you know, throughout that book. I think that, you know, Stabler was clearly upset about the whole thing, and but even more upset was Coach Bryant.
Oh.
and Stabler wrote in his autobiography, or in Snake, he said, after Stabler had thrown it out of bounds, you know, fourth down to end the game, "I followed Coach Bryant back to the visitors' dressing room at Neyland Stadium." Again, this is Stabler writing in the book. "The door was locked and our equipment manager had not arrived yet. Coach Bryant was not going to wait for the key. He brought his right arm back and hit that door with a forearm smash that knocked it literally off its hinges. By the time all the players entered the locker room, however, Bryant had calmed down to the point where, in an even tone, he blamed himself for the tie, or as he called it, the loss."
It was a loss, according to Coach Bryant.
Right. And Stabler, and there's a quote from Stabler's book. He said, he quoted Bryant saying, "I want to apologize for me and my staff for not preparing you people well enough to win the game today. It was us, not you, who lost that game. I'm sorry." And then Stabler added, "No wonder we all love that man."
Wow. You
know, he took it on himself. And
he took it
publicly on himself and never criticized the player, never criticized Stabler. And so that one, to me, in history, it's a loss. You know, it's funny how losses are the games you remember. Even Obama has a big lead in that series.
Losses are
the ones you remember.
It was a tie, but in Coach Bryant's mind, that was definitely a loss, which is very interesting.
Yep. Well, look, let's take a short break. We'll continue this discussion, and then we'll make some game picks here. So we'll be right back. You're listening to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hi, I'm Sarah Patterson, and you're listening to the Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
You're back in the Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. Mark, we've been talking Alabama-Tennessee, the rivalry, the game. It's the third Saturday in October. We're glad that it's back on the third Saturday in October. You know, the history and the magnitude of this game in the past has been really, really incredible. You know, unfortunately today that's really not the case with Tennessee being down like they have been the past few years, but it's still fun and it's still exciting, right? And I just asked you in the last segment what was, you know, the one game in the history of this rivalry that you feel like was kind of the most interesting or stood out to you, and you talked about Kenny Stabler throwing the ball away on fourth down and them tying, and Coach Bryant really taking that as a loss, which shows just to his character and his demeanor and his disposition on in his competitiveness, really, in this rivalry, and how much that dude wanted to win, man.
That's true. He
wanted to win, and I've heard stories from you and others that have other guys that have been here in the studio that knew Coach Bryant and met him. It's just really fascinating to hear those. To hear those stories firsthand.
Yeah, you know, I have some photos here in my office that my father actually took. I was in the locker room during a game in the 70s in Knoxville. I mean, I went to a lot of those games with press passes at that time, even after I was a student and went on into media and came back to Bama games. And some of those Tennessee games, I watched Bama-Tennessee games over the year, were from the press box. But this one, you know, my dad actually was in the media room with me. In those days, you could get, you know, I got credentials for myself
pass,
and
yeah.
my dad. Yeah. And there's a picture of Bryant smoking a cigar, and in that little cramped Knoxville media room outside the locker room, and it says everything about this game because it was huge to Coach Bryant. I mean, it was just a massive rivalry to him. And he won 11 straight in the 1970s, from 71 through 81.
They dominated the 70s.
Yeah, dominated, and he won 11 straight against Tennessee at that point.
Tennessee wasn't down.
No, they weren't down.
They were good in the 70s.
Bama had actually been down, as you know, for a couple of years in the late 60s before they reinstituted the, you know, before they brought in the wishbone offense.
Right.
And then they dominated Tennessee over the next decade. And then, of course, as we know, Bama went on some hard times here, and Tennessee ended up winning something like 10 out of 12 games.
Yeah,
in the 90s through the beginning of the 2000s, I guess.
From 95 to 2006.
Yeah, there we go.
Tennessee had a really great run, and it's so funny. Those are the games I remember growing up.
Yeah.
Growing up watching those games, watching Tennessee win a lot of those. It was really interesting to hear of the I guess history of Alabama football, and then how big of a deal it was that Alabama hired Nick Saban to bring them back to that, which
right.
he has done, and then added to that added to that history, and it's really interesting to see.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking through the book here with it's a picture of Cody's block, also a picture of Julio Jones playing in that game.
Yep.
Which is really, you know, it's
yeah. Julio was going to get that ball if Cody didn't.
Yeah. So and then here's Julio just catching a pass against him as well.
Yeah.
But I think the rivalry has lost a little luster when it goes through streaks like this. But
right.
it's always going to be a big rivalry, particularly to people who were around before, for instance, Bama got going on this
right.
latest streak. So. It's a major deal.
Also, we haven't talked about it yet, but a huge storyline is Jeremy Pruitt played at Alabama, is from Northeast Alabama, and is now the head coach of Tennessee, which just adds another fun little caveat to this rivalry. It's going to be the main storyline of the day, but it's fascinating, really.
It is, and I think maybe, I mean, we'll get into it here when we talk about the game specifically today, but Pruitt's doing a pretty good job there.
Yeah.
Or he seems to be building that foundation that's
right.
going to put them back
right.
to a competitive level.
And it's going to take a little while.
It is going to take a while. He's got to have the athletes,
right.
and he's got to have the depth, you know.
Right, absolutely.
But, yeah, the Vols, you know, I do troll volnation.com a little bit.
Yes, we do know that, Mark.
And you know, those fans are like Bama fans were during the streak you're talking about
right.
before Saban. They
hungry,
those,
hungry
they're
for
hungry.
Victory.
They can't take it anymore.
Right.
I mean, they just and I saw something on Vol Nation this week where a guy said, "There's no way we're going to lose Saturday because we never lose 12 in a row. It's always 11 in a row."
Oh,
you know, because Bryant did have that 11 game
right.
winning streak. Saban's on 11 game winning streak
right.
against him now. So this guy's convinced
right.
that there's some wall there.
Right.
That it's some supernatural wall.
Well,
it's going to keep them from losing.
If
Saturday,
we've learned anything, Nick Saban can raise the bar, and so
yeah.
he probably will be this weekend. So.
Right. I got a feeling that
right.
that 11 win thing's gonna fall.
Well, Mark, let's get into our picks this week. This is what the listeners want.
Yeah.
They want our picks.
Absolutely.
They want us to miss them, of course.
Yeah. And we will. We always provide that.
Right.
Miss.
Also, so. Who's in the lead so far?
You are, my
okay,
friend.
Just,
you
just
are.
To
you
hear
are,
you say
you
it.
Are having. You're on a roll this year.
I am having a roll. Let's go to – we talked about this game a little earlier. Let's go to Michigan at Michigan State. Who do you think is going to win this one? It's at 11 a.m. It's in East Lansing. What are your thoughts?
I'm going Michigan on this. I think Shea Patterson there has now gotten his feet, you know, planted firmly.
Right.
As the quarterback, he's doing really well. This team is really
improved.
Big
win at Wisconsin last week.
Big win. That tells you a lot about how powerful this team can be if things go right for them. And
right.
I actually believe they're going to blow Michigan State out.
You think
out.
So?
I do. Even though it's a tough rivalry.
Yeah.
I think Michigan State's a little – you know, they're a little down this year, although, you know, they play Michigan tough and normally win this game a lot.
So. I'm going Michigan also. This pick makes me nervous as heck. I just – there's no telling what's going to happen in this game. Michigan State can have a great year and lose this game or just have a terrible year and they can ruin it for Michigan. So I think Michigan does win, but it just makes me a little nervous.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Staying with 11 a.m., we have Auburn at Ole Miss. What do you think, Mark?
Well, I actually want to pick Ole Miss. I think I'm going to go with Auburn in this game.
Yeah,
though. I think it just comes down to which is the actual better team, and I believe Auburn's got some real problems on offense.
They do,
but defensively, I think they can stop Ole Miss enough to win this. It's going to be decently close, though.
Auburn does have they do have problems and issues. I don't think their problems are big enough where they're going to lose to Ole Miss.
Right. Right.
That's you know, I say good that, but they lost to Tennessee.
Right, they did
last
they
week.
Did.
So we shall see. Oklahoma at TCU. It's ABC at 11 o'clock. We talked about earlier. TCU's 3-3. Oklahoma is not 3-3. So we shall see how that plays out. What do you think, Mark?
Well, I'm going to go. Yeah, I'm going to Oklahoma. TCU's just been kind of a letdown this year.
They
so
have.
I believe the Sooners are going to. Go in there, and I don't think it's going to be close in the end.
I agree. You know? I agree. Sooners are going to win this one.
Yep. One out in Iowa hosting Maryland. Now Maryland, you know, remember they beat Texas in the beginning of this year.
Yeah.
And they got a decent football team. Who you got though?
I think Maryland's going to win. This is also a pick that I just don't know, Mark. You know, Maryland's got a good win against Texas. Iowa can beat anybody at home. We've seen that in the past.
Right.
Or they can lose to anybody at home.
Right.
But I'm going with Maryland.
You're going with Maryland? Wow,
Maryland.
That's a little fearless,
yeah.
I think.
I'm going with the Terps.
All right, because, you know, they're heading to Iowa City, so that's
yeah.
That's pretty good. I call that a fearless pick right there.
I like that.
All right, you're going with the Terps. All right, we shall see. Virginia at Duke. This is a kind of a big rivalry between those two teams.
It is. You know, I'm a big Duke guy. I've been on the Duke train for a while. They've they've served me well.
Right.
It's going to bite me in the butt one of these days. That day will not be today. I am going with the Blue Devils against Virginia.
I am too. I you know, this is the kind of game, though, that Virginia could step up and win because
yes.
They do this kind of thing. But I got to go with the better team, just like you. I'm going with the Blue Devils.
Right.
I think they'll win this thing.
Absolutely.
Yep. And then we're going to skip over our game at 2:30, Bama at Tennessee. But let's talk a little bit about Penn State at Indiana, which is maybe kind of a tough game.
Yeah, it could be. Indiana, I'm sure the Hoosiers are excited about this one. Penn State's going to go in there and win.
All right. Well, I thought about picking an upset here. I did. I thought about
going fearless on.
Yeah, because, you know, Penn State kind of literally dropped the ball last week.
Literally, yes.
But I'm going safe here. I'm going Penn State. Certainly on a neutral field, Penn State have no problem winning this game.
Right.
So I got to go with them.
Right.
Well, we'll make our way through the well, we're almost about halfway through these picks. We've got another segment on them. But let's go ahead, and before we break here, let's NC State at Clemson. As we said, NC State's unbeaten. This is unusual for NC State to go into this game unbeaten.
Yeah, NC State going in here unbeaten, 5-0. I don't see Clemson losing this game. As fun as it would be to pick NC State and to have the fearless pick, it's got to be Clemson. I feel like you're a fool if you pick against Clemson.
I agree with you. Well, I may be a fool, but I ain't picking NC State.
Right.
You're right about this. I think, you know, Clemson has not – they're not quite playing on all cylinders.
No, they're not.
I mean, this should show a test of if they're getting into playoff caliber sort of ready.
Right.
Are they doing that? Because this is normally a time when Clemson starts really dominating people, but they really haven't done that much of
right.
that this year against good teams.
And we've seen in the past, Clemson can lose to a team. You know, Clemson can lose to a team that's not as good as theirs. Syracuse, they lost to Syracuse. You know, last year. Or maybe 2 years ago in years past. And so
right.
this NC State team is good enough to go in there and win the ball game. This isn't a long shot. But
no,
you know,
right.
It being in Clemson, I just don't see it happening.
Yeah, no, that's true. And I I'm anxious to see how well does Clemson just come out and dominate them. And, you know, yeah, NC State is unbeaten, but I don't think either of us think they're really a top 10 team.
Right.
They're not your normal unbeaten. But if this is a close game, it's going to tell us something about Clemson, I believe.
Right.
So we'll see. Well, look, let's take another break here, and we'll come back and talk about the other games around the country before we get to Bama and Tennessee. You're listening to Skybox on 90.7 Capstone.
I'm Paul Feinbaum, my favorite station in the world, 90.7, The Capstone.
You're back to the Skybox on 90.7, The Capstone. We are back with some more fearless picks. I feel like there wasn't, last segment, there weren't that many fearless picks.
No. You made the most fearless one, the Maryland at Iowa.
I did.
I think.
You know, Mark, I do want to say before we move on. You're not going to catch me if you keep.
I know.
Unless you get fearless.
I know.
You and Adam and George better get after it.
I know. So, I think we went up on you like about one game.
You did.
That ain't going to get it.
No.
You got too big of a lead. So
right.
we
got to,
yeah, kind of start. The
right.
problem with that is it's just like. It's like a bad team in a football game
right.
where you're getting stomped and you don't punt on their own, on your own
right.
20.
You get buried.
And you just get buried.
That's right. That's exactly
so
right.
So I think that's sort of, you know.
Right.
Maybe I'm just going to try to keep it respectable.
There you
now.
Go.
There we go.
All right. We have Minnesota at Nebraska.
Yep.
They are rowing the boat into corn country.
Yep.
What do you think? What do you think happens here?
I'm picking
Nebraska. They lost a tough one last week.
They did, and that's one reason I'm picking them this week.
You are?
I'm picking them to sink the rowboat.
That's a wild move.
I'm picking them because I believe, and that's part of it. They stood up a little bit.
They did.
They're what 0-7 right now, something like that. It's the worst start in Nebraska history, I think. But I do believe that little by little, you know, they're learning how to not lose big,
right.
you know, and I think Minnesota's got some problems right now.
Yeah.
So,
you've about talked me into picking Nebraska. I'm going with Minnesota.
All right.
That is actually a really tough pick,
but
I'm going with Minnesota. They're just the more established team. It's hard to pick Nebraska in the state that they're in right now, and
yeah.
the fashion they lost last week.
Yep.
So,
yep. Well, George Brown's Gophers, you know,
right?
And we'll see how they do. But
for sure.
I think George pretty realistic about the Gophers this
right.
year. He's, I think he thinks they. We'll have to get him on. Let him speak
right.
for himself. But
right.
I think he thinks they. They got some problems that they got to get worked out. All right.
3 o'clock, we have Memphis at Missouri. We didn't talk about this in the
yeah,
teaser.
Right.
But this might be a good football game.
This may be a really good football game.
And, you know, this is a chance for Memphis to really show that they can play with the teams in the Power 5.
Right.
But
you know, Memphis barely lost to UCF last week.
Yeah.
Like, just a couple
good,
points.
They're
believe.
A good football team.
They're a good football team, and they've got a good program. So, yeah, I think this game's going to be pretty close.
Yeah.
I think you're going to see two good offenses going at it. I think the defenses are going to both be tested on these teams.
Right.
I think I'm going to go with Missouri just because they're home.
I am too.
You know?
I am too. Missouri at home, but not an easy one for them.
Right, right. Absolutely.
One of the bigger games of the day, we have Mississippi State at LSU. It's at 6 p.m., which does not help State.
No, not at all.
No. LSU fans will be crazy, especially because that team is a good football team this year. They are excited. That place is going to be rocking. Who you got?
Yeah, you know, again, we've discussed this on past shows. We thought Mississippi State would be playing better this year.
Yeah.
You know, and they have won a couple of good games.
Transition's tough. I don't care who it is. Transition is tough.
It is. And they're catching LSU at a bad time for Mississippi State because LSU is playing well now.
Yep.
And LSU has their eye on trying to get the division title.
Right.
And I was going to say they have their eye on Alabama. They better have their eye on Mississippi State,
right,
not Alabama,
right,
because they could get upset. But I think LSU is going to win this, and I don't think it's going to be close in the
end. Yeah, I think LSU wins as well. I totally agree.
Yep. Oregon at Washington State. We talked about this a little bit earlier. This is a big game in the Pac-12.
This is a big game. 6:30 p.m. It's not super late, which
it
usually is.
Right, right.
I'm going Oregon on this game. I think Oregon's the better football team all around. Mario Cristobal's got them playing well. I think they win this game.
I agree with you. I think Mario Cristobal's got the Saban process going.
Yes.
And I think, I think they win this game too. I think they're just going to out-muscle Washington State. You know, it used to be Oregon we thought of as kind of a gimmicky offense. They still won with it and all that. But now I think they've got the offense, but they've also got the toughness.
Right.
And I think they go in there and just beat down the Pirate.
They make them walk the plank.
Yeah, I think the Pirate
I'm going to beat that joke into the ground.
Yeah, Pirates walking the plank tonight, no doubt.
Ohio State at Purdue, 6:30 p.m.
Interesting. I think Ohio State blows them out.
Yeah, I agree. Purdue doesn't have the horses, man.
Yeah, so I
I'm a Jeff Brohm guy, but it's not going to happen tonight for
me. No, it's not. And Ohio State's clearly wanting to get ready for the playoffs.
Right.
So, you know, I'm going with them too.
Right.
All right, you mentioned this one, Vandy at Kentucky.
Yeah. I think the Cats win this one because they're at home. And, you know, this is one of the best seasons they've had, since probably 1950.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, since Bryant was there,
right,
probably.
Which was 1950
right.
when before he left.
Right, right.
And they split the title, but I would I think Kentucky's going to win that. This team has something to play for. They're excited. You know, Kentucky fans have gotten behind this team because they're winning. And I mentioned that the atmosphere at Kroger Field and in Lexington is not great on game days. If they continue to win, that will improve. And I know that's super hot take, but
yeah,
I think the fans are going to be pretty excited about this one, and they're going to beat Vanderbilt.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Kentucky wins this too. This is a good football team. Kentucky's got a good football team. They're not a fluke. I mean, they're playing well.
Right. And they're just solid. They're solid in just about every area.
Yeah.
Which they have not been before.
Right.
So.
All right, and then North Texas at UAB, and UAB has had a pretty good year coming back off of their hiatus.
Right.
You know, they're playing pretty well.
Yeah, Bill Clark, heck of a coach. He's recruited really well at UAB, even with the turmoil of the program within the past few years. I think North Texas is a better football team. I think they're actually going to go in and win. Sorry to our Birmingham folks, but I'm picking the Mean Green.
The Mean Green. All right, I'm going with UAB. I'm going with home team, and I'd love to know the Mayor Walt Maddox's pick on this. He tends to be our local.
He's our UAB guy.
UAB guy,
right.
But I'm going UAB on this. We'll see. All right, another big one out in Pac-12, and USC at Utah.
You know, I'm picking USC in this one. Not for any great reason besides the fact that they're USC and they should win this one. I know that's really not a great analysis or anything like that, but I just don't know much about this Utah team, and I haven't watched them at all. I think USC is probably going to win this one.
Well, Utah's playing pretty well, but I do think USC. I just can't quite figure them out with Helton out there. I thought they've got better athletes than their record indicates. So I don't know what's going on, but they do seem all of a sudden to be off the mat a little bit.
Right.
I think You know, I think they go out to Utah and win this game, but that's a tough place to play for an opposing team. That game, I think it's going to be close.
Yeah, absolutely. So. All right, last game of the night, a little Pac-12 after dark, 9:30 p.m. on ESPN2, Arizona at UCLA. Mark,
I'm not going Arizona anymore.
I'm not either.
They let me down too many times. My man Khalil Tate.
Not in the Heisman talk.
Not in the Heisman talk. Is never going to be in the Heisman talk again. And UCLA finally won a game, last week. They finally won a game, and I think they get another one.
I think
they're going to win this at home in the Rose Bowl. Now, nobody's going to show up. Part of their problem is
they can't get people to
come to the games, especially, I was going to say a late game, but it's not. It's 7:30 out there, 9:30 here, but that's a problem out there in LA right now. And, you got the Dodgers playing and NLCS.
Lakers have started.
Lakers, you got, it's tough filling the stadium. I've read a story about it. Right now they're losing, which winning would help fill it. But now they're not. So.
It would. And it's so interesting that there's so much else to do in LA besides go watch a bad UCLA team play a bad Arizona team.
Right, and traffic. I don't know. I used to spend quite a bit of time in LA just getting across over to Pasadena.
Miserable,
where they play
I'm
in the
sure.
Rose Bowl, it can take an hour and a half from one side of the town to the other.
That's crazy.
I mean, it's terrible.
That's crazy.
And so, anyway.
Well, those are our picks for this week. We'll be back talking Alabama and Tennessee a little more in-depth. You are in the Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
You're back in the Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. Well, Andrew, we got Bama against the Vols in Knoxville here this afternoon. I know you're kind of a Vol guy, but you're also a Bama guy now as well. So, how you think this thing's going to play out?
Well, Tennessee's got a new coach in Jeremy Pruitt. We all know that. And I think they are improving. They got a big win against Auburn last week, which I'm sure Alabama fans just absolutely loved. I'm sure they wish both teams could have lost.
right.
But yeah, I'm gonna say the obvious stuff first. Tennessee doesn't have the depth nor the players to compete with Alabama this year. And I say that knowing that there might not be a team in the country that has the players or the depth to compete with Alabama this year.
Yeah.
So, it's going to be tough sledding for another year. The guy on VolQuest that says Tennessee can't lose 12th year in a row because they never have before, I think he's wrong.
a little bit wrong.
Right.
We
talked a little bit about Coach Pruitt and his history with Alabama, and it's just that storyline of him being the head coach at Tennessee is it's really interesting. It makes this it gives another twist to this rivalry, similar to Coach Battle, who played at Alabama and then coached really good teams at Tennessee. The connection between these two teams and the history that we talked about is it's rather fascinating and it's fun. A student that's in school right now might not realize that or might not know that, Tennessee is just that team that Alabama always beats up on. But this used to be a fun rivalry.
It did. It did.
Especially before Coach Saban got here.
Yeah.
And so it's always fun. It's always fun no matter what for one team at least.
Right.
So, it should be a fun day.
Yeah, I think, it is in Neyland Stadium. So, it's – an away game in the SEC is always tough. I mean, Bama, since Saban's been there, seems to actually play even better on away games.
Right.
That's not a problem for them. But I do think Tennessee's win over Auburn gave that program a whole lot of confidence.
Absolutely.
Certainly gave their fans confidence that they can win a big game. I think most of their fans are realistic about it, then they understand.
Which is rare.
Not there
which is
yet.
Rare to say about Tennessee fans.
Yeah, it is rare to say about them because they're and as we talked earlier, they are really hungry for a win in this thing. Because I guarantee you that they remember the big rivalry because they are so hungry for a win.
In Tennessee, they got over the hump 2 years ago against Florida, which was huge, and now Alabama's that next mountain that they. know, that they've got to climb, and it just doesn't look like it's happening really this year or anytime soon.
Well, and for those, and you certainly remember this, the for those Tennessee fans, they remember when it was Tennessee and Florida sort of dominating the SEC. Remember, it always was that game.
Right.
That was their big game. For I mean, Alabama was always the rivalry, but in those years, as you mentioned, from 95 through 2005, 2006, those were, you know, it was Tennessee going up against Florida that kind of determined the East was the big tough thing. Bama was down, other programs were down, but those days are long over.
They are.
They've been over a long time, and just like Bama's days in the 70s were over for a while.
Right.
But now Alabama pretty much owns this series. And you know, I would say Tennessee with Pruitt, and I do think they're going to be competitive in the SEC from now on out much better, more consistently than they were.
Right.
But are they going to reach the level of, you know, are they really going to be able to beat Alabama anytime soon? I mean, I really believe that's a good question.
I don't know. It is a good question. It comes down to a few things. They've got to recruit. They've got to have depth. And they've got to continue to get better. It's a daunting task for any team to beat Alabama, especially to do it on a consistent basis, which nobody's done really since Ole Miss did it back to back year. So, I don't know, Mark. I don't see it. It's definitely not happening this year. It's probably not happening next year. But if Coach Pruitt continues to coach and recruit like we all know that he can, and like he's shown in every other job that he's had, Tennessee's going to be all right.
They're
going to be in great shape. It's just, you know, beating Alabama is going to be a huge, huge monkey that is on their back. I don't know when it's going to happen.
I think, and for us, one question is Tua today because, you know, is Tua playing? I think he's playing. I think Stabler. I think Saban's got Stabler on my mind from this series.
He's lefty.
lefty and another lefty. But I think Saban's sort of made it clear that Tua's okay. Tua himself has made that clear. I think he's going to start the game.
Right.
You know, I've seen some talk, well, they don't need him, just start Hurts, and that's true. I mean, they can win this game without Tua, but I believe Tua's going to play, and I believe this offense, you know, Tennessee can't stop this Alabama offense.
No.
I do not believe it at all. Now, with Pruitt, they're not just going to get embarrassed, but I don't think they're going to be able to slow Bama down that much.
The thing, and we talk a lot in this show, in this segment, about what is it going to take to beat Alabama, and I feel like we say this every week, but it's going to take Tennessee forcing turnovers, dominating the clock. They're going to have to play a perfect game to beat Alabama. They're going to they're going to have to force turnovers. Alabama's going to have to be sloppy.
Yeah.
They're going to have to give up big plays, which they just haven't done in the past consistently, which is why, you know, we just don't see Alabama losing this game.
No, I think
especially if Tua plays. That is a completely different element.
It is.
You know, Tennessee fans are hoping that they see number two trot out there, which isn't it? Isn't a great second option?
Because
he's
also
pretty dang good himself.
Well, especially in this game,
right?
He's beaten them like crazy.
He rushes
the last couple of
he's
years.
He's rushed for
himself.
Hundreds of yards on them.
He has, and they have not been able to stop him.
No.
But you know, even the odds makers didn't put this game up on the boards for a couple of days because of not knowing about Tua. So they didn't know quite how to set that the odds. But I think Bama's almost a 29-point favorite today. So 28.5 or 29-point favorite.
I do have a question for you, Mark. Which coach is gonna say I in their post-game press conference more?
is it gonna be
Nick or Jeremy? Because I don't know if you heard a Pruitt press conference. He says I a lot, and it's just really funny.
That
Northeast Alabama twang that he's got going on.
I know.
which is funny.
I know. They both, you know, he's got that. Saban's got the West Virginia thing going.
Right.
You know, it'll be interesting. That may be the most interesting part of the game, the press conferences at the end. You know, we'll see. Now, one question. You know, Tennessee, I think, was able to run the ball on Auburn. I don't see him running the ball on Alabama very well. They have to run the ball if they're going to have any chance.
They
of
do. They ran the ball so consistently, or they tried to run the ball on first down, and it just became very predictable. And Tennessee's going to have Tyson Hilton's going to have to call a virtuoso performance, and they're going to have to execute for them to beat Alabama. You know, just with their depth and talent, it seems like a daunting task. Garantano has played well. He has improved. He got you know, offensive player of the week this week for his efforts against Auburn. But for Tennessee to be successful, they're going to have to run the ball, and they're going to have to keep Alabama. They're going to have to be balanced and keep Alabama on their toes on defense, which not many teams in the country probably are really able to do.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll see. I mean, it's, you know, again, I expect Tennessee to come out playing really hard in the beginning,
right,
before they get behind.
Right.
And, you know, we'll see. I mean, it sounds terrible to just take for granted that Bama's going to go in there and blow them out, but I do think Bama's going to blow them out.
Right.
And I don't think there's much Tennessee can do about that.
Right.
This just isn't the year
for that.
They're
just not there.
Yeah, and as you were saying, I mean, this Alabama team – they're probably nobody in the country that can really completely shut them down. I
right.
mean, we could talk about Clemson or Ohio State, a couple teams that can hang in there with them. But I believe that this is a special offense Alabama's running
right
now. And I don't – they just got too many
yeah.
skilled players. And the offensive line also is getting better and better. I mean, Bama's got a few injuries, a few
yeah.
nicks, you know, and bruises. But I think they're going to I think they go in there and blow it out. What's your score prediction?
I'm going to guess 49-17.
Oh, that's pretty close to what I was going to say. I was going to say 48-10.
I think Alabama forces a couple turnovers, maybe gets a couple defensive touchdowns, which really opens the game up early, and then they just can't recover from there. I think
yeah.
that's my prediction.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. And but you know, it's always fun to watch Bama Tennessee.
Right.
You know,
it's
going to
be really exciting
today.
up until the game starts.
Right. Right. It should be.
It's going to be really exciting.
You got the Vol Navy coming in there.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to show up.
You know, last week I was at Calhoun's on the river.
Yeah.
And the Vol Navy, the big houseboats were there.
Yeah.
Sitting, and I was just thinking, this place is going to be rocking a week from now.
It's going to be rocking.
The Vol Navy will be there. Like I said, Tennessee fans will be excited up until kickoff. And, you know, you can't take that from them, which
you
is
can't
great.
It is a great place for college football.
It is.
It really is. Knoxville's a really good town for that.
And
all
Stadium,
that together.
Neyland
really,
Stadium will be rocking.
It'll be rocking.
The game will be sold out. It will be rocking.
They got the checkerboard end zones
going. They got those Rocky Top.
The Rocky Top playing. They got Smokey, laying out there somewhere.
Right.
The
old hound dog.
They're coming in from Sevierville.
Right.
And every part of the mountain.
That's right.
They're going to be rolling, man.
Absolutely. All right, Mark, that's our show for today. Thank you all for being with us in the Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.